This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Valiant Central Podcast, episode Who Knows? I'm Martin, and Paul's here, and we are so fired up to talk.
You secretly know what episode this is, though, because you're a numbers whore. You want to beat your podcast and numbers, so I know you got your little book. You're crossing it off. You wrote down all the numbers that we need to pass them. You cross it off each time we go like a calendar.
I mean,
and we're gonna get there.
You know,
we will never die.
Here's the thing: this used to be the flagship podcast, but man, I don't know. Recently, it's no longer the flagship.
Well, you see, the problem is you're looking at the concept of flagship wrong.
Oh, do tell.
Because I am the flagship of the network.
Here we go.
I am the heart mm-hmm. of the network. Mm-hmm. I am the spirit of the network. Mm-hmm. And there's only one of me.
Mm-hmm.
I only appear on one thing, because there's only one heart in anything that's not like an alien or another mythical creature that has multiple hearts. What other creatures have multiple hearts, Martin?
Cows?
No, that's stomachs.
Oh.
I think Nick octopuses? Is the stomach of the network.
Octopuses have three hearts.
Have multiple arms.
No, they have like three hearts.
Ronnie is the octopus tentacle of the network because he's on every podcast, but only when he feels like it. Aaron is the inflamed asshole with hemorrhoids of the network because he just is angry about everything.
Oh, he should be on this podcast then.
Maybe this week. Maybe this week.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But see, the important thing is that our top three podcasts are all me. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I think VCP is like the ears of the podcast, because as you get older, your ears just get bigger and bigger. And that's kind of how VCP feels right now. Just like starting to get awkwardly big.
Oh, do tell. Awkwardly yeah. big, how so?
Just, you know, like an old man's gangly giant fucking ears.
Paul, we have so much to talk about. I don't even know where to start. I don't.
I think we should start with talking about, I just watched Kingsman, the first Kingsman movie. I hardly ever got to watch movies. I really enjoyed watching a movie.
Yeah, how was it?
It didn't hurt that the movie was enjoyable. So what I thought about it was, it's nice to watch a movie that, like, not that the story was predictable or anything, but it followed just like what you expect in an action spy movie. There wasn't, I don't know, like it was just good. Like there was good action. The guys were fucking experts at what they do. I hate it when you watch a movie like that and like the expert spies like are trying to figure out how to overcome adversity.
Mm.
It's like, no, they're still alive because they're really good at what they do. And you know what? If they fuck up, they're dead. You know what? The guy who was the expert in that one that fucked up, got his brains blown out.
Gotcha.
The other one got chopped in half.
Gotcha.
That's not how it works in those movies. Like, they're experts until they're dead. Then they're dead.
So, I'm, you know me, Paul. I'm a hipster. I'm a comic book hipster, Paul. And, I did not like that movie. I tried to watch it like three times, and I was like, meh, I don't care.
It was enjoyable. You also watch a lot of movies, so at some point you have to have something you dislike.
I mean, it's no Justice League. You know what I'm saying?
I haven't seen Justice League.
It's fantastic. You should watch it.
I'll watch it eventually.
I saw it four times.
Yeah.
Hipster.
I'll probably watch it once. Ever.
Well, good for you.
And I'll do something else while watching it.
Kingsman was fun. You watched the first one or the second one?
The first one.
Okay.
Yeah, I Redboxed it, so I'm going to return it today. And the best part is, I paid nothing. That's how much you should pay for stuff.
Oh.
Nothing.
You know, Redbox has a subscription service now.
Yeah, I heard something about that.
Streaming service.
I rented it with a free Redbox code, and I'm going to return it, and I'm going to get the second one with another free Redbox code.
I might try to watch the second one. I heard the second one was better.
Maybe someday I'll get a Valiant movie with a free Redbox code.
Oh, is that your segue?
Segue back into Valiant? Yes.
Into one of the things that we need to discuss?
I do really need to discuss that.
Man, there's been a lot of trolling on Twitter, Paul.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not much of a troll, but sometimes you just get to the point that you deserve it. Like, you can't just hype up something that never delivers. Like, do you think the Cleveland Browns are on Twitter like, we're gonna beat the good team this week? Yeah. No, because even their fans would be like, shut the fuck up and let us suffer in silence.
Yes. Let me read some of these tweets. Because so here's what happened. Let me do some background. So Dinesh posted a picture of whoever the guy is playing Exo Manowar in the Ninjak versus series, and it looks awesome. I gotta say, the picture he posted was freaking sweet looking. But of course, we've been hearing about this for what, 18 months now?
18 years.
Around. 18 yeah. years. And I think we can tell that a lot of people are just a little pissy about it. So I'm gonna read some tweets. So is the Ninjak vs. Valiant Universe trailer ever coming out? You sort of went silent on that one, Dinesh. It's true. Silent. Sweet, but upcoming? I don't think you're using that word correctly. Hashtag inconceivable. Ooh, episode title.
By the way, I use that in a response to somebody's tweet much more effectively than that person.
I'll read one more. Due out sometime in 2020s. Yeah, I think it was either Ronnie or Aaron posted something. There was some YouTube video about like the year 2500. It was pretty funny. Anyway, yeah, I think people are a little just kind of meh. And there's an easy solution, Paul. There's an easy solution to all this stuff. And I've seen this in other communities, particularly like video games. So I don't know if you ever go to Reddit. I don't know, you don't have time to do anything, but I go to Reddit sometimes. And Reddit's interesting. It's like a community where people post articles and you can downvote them, upvote them, you can comment on them. And there is a Valiant Comics Reddit community that's somewhat active, but I'm not part of that one. I am part of some of the other ones. And there's a couple games that I play, one in particular, Hearthstone. They have a very active community. And for a long time, the developers would like do something to the game. And everyone would just get like super pissy and start posting on Reddit. And then eventually, like, the developers would see it, they would go back and try to correct things in the video game. And after, like, months and months of this happening, they finally got smart, and they started doing preemptive comments. So, like, if they're gonna make a change, they'll post a video on YouTube, or start a thread on Reddit. They have, like, people actively, like, part of the development team actively on Reddit answering questions all the time. And so people know what's going on before these changes get made. And I'm not saying we need to know everything, Paul. I'm not. But you know what? Here's the thing. If you start psyching people up on something like, say, Ninjak versus the Valiant Universe, and it doesn't happen, and you don't say anything about it, you completely ignore it, that kind of pisses people off a little bit, you know? And for me, and I think for you and for a lot of people, the most important thing is comics and not whatever else they want to do. But at the same time, like, let people know. You know, if you can't put this thing out, we'll say, hey, you know, we ran into this little rights issue with Sony, which that wasn't said, but that seems to be the prevalent theory. There's some kind of rights issue with Sony. We can't put this thing out right now. We're working on it. We're going to try to put this out for you guys. That's all you got to say. That's not that hard, is it?
Apparently it is.
I mean, it can't be. It can't be. And so now we've got, there's the Ninjak versus series coming out, I think, next month. I mean, you can't have that series come out if there's no announcement on whatever this web series is, you know? JDF is posting stuff again about the web series, so I'm assuming all this stuff has been figured out. But, like, there's been some pissed off people, dude. Like, they were supposed to show all that stuff at NYCC, and I think they're still previewing either the trailer or the first episode of the web series at cons, at panels. I don't know, man. That's not the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, let people know what's happening. You know? If you're running into problems, let people know. We're running into problems. When it comes out, it comes out. I think even if that means that it never comes out, even just saying that kind of gives you a little bit of goodwill towards other people.
Yeah, it's, you know, that's the problem with when you have to hype stuff ahead of time before it's in the bag is when stuff happens, how do you handle it? If, you know, you finish it and then you drop it, then you don't have to do that because you're like, you know, you can, it's done, here it is, you know, and the excitement is just there. But I mean, that's kind of part of the problem nowadays with the fact that, to get anybody interested in anything, you have to like tell them about it ahead of time. So they plan ahead to be interested. Basically, there's just too many things competing for people's attention. Everybody expects instant gratification and everything. I mean, it's hard to get surprised in anything nowadays. It's something that we've talked about before on here, whether it be in a comic arc or, you know, I mean, even professional wrestling, it's like, you know, that used to be one of the best things about watching professional wrestling was you didn't know what was going to happen, and you would get people like popping up out of nowhere and surprise returns and stuff like that. Nowadays, like, you have to try to avoid knowing if you want to be surprised by something. So for the most part, they've just given up. You know, it's like they don't even try to hide stuff anymore. They just flat out tell you what shit's happening.
Well, except when it's not happening. That's my point.
Like, that's the problem with this now is when something, you know, they're basically pumping this up before it's done. When something happens to derail it, because everybody's just sitting here like, you know, eating every little bit that they're being fed, you can't just suddenly stop feeding them. So if something goes wrong, you got to tell them.
Yep.
Something's gone wrong. There's a delay. We do not know when this is going to come out. I mean, honestly, like, if in the first place when it was delayed, if they just said, like, you know, we've ran into some issues, you know, stay tuned for more news, whatever. At least that would be saying that, you know, I mean, even without giving details, that would be saying the status of stuff, but.
Yeah, just acknowledge it. I mean, you and I both do work with the public, and so, you know, it's pretty easy to derail or lose a customer if you're not honest with that person.
Yeah, even if they're unhappy with the result, if you're upfront about it, then
absolutely
they could be pissed off, and you could deal with them being pissed off and try to find the best solution you can.
Yep.
It's when you bullshit them around forever that you've just lost it for good. That's actually a good point. I always tell my employees that if there's a problem, you want to fix it in one swing. Like you want to fix it in one try. Because if you're trying to inch up to fixing the problem, you're never going to fix it because you're just going to keep on pissing that person off a little bit more.
Absolutely.
And eventually you lose the opportunity altogether.
Yep.
So, you know, sometimes you can't fix a problem. I mean, you know, if they promise the web series and there are those fans out there that are super excited about it, and then they come out and say, shit happened, it's not coming out, you may get people that just say, well, fuck this, I'm out of here and leave. But you know, it's better to lose those people that are going to overreact to stuff than to eventually lose everybody because you're trying to bullshit your way through it.
Yep. And I mean, good on Dinesh. He's been commenting and liking all the troll tweets. I don't think any of them are, like, harmful. Like, nobody's super pissed off. They're just kind of, you know, yeah, whatever kind of thing. You know, we'll see.
Anybody who's super pissed off is already gone.
Yeah, everyone who's pissed off is gone.
Yeah, not everybody who's pissed off. Everybody who's super pissed off is gone. The people who were being nasty about it in the first place when it wasn't coming out right off the bat, they're gone now. So anybody now that's still griping about it some, they're still around because they want to still be around with Valiant as a whole.
Yep.
So they're expressing their irritation and not just, you know, blowing smoke and stroking some CEO dick there.
Blowing smoke and stroking.
Oh, it's going to be great. I'd rather you take your time. No, I would rather that, you know, they take their time and do it right, but don't fucking bullshit me along the way either.
Booyah. Yeah. You
know, we talked about that with other comic publishers. A book can be great, but if it's constantly delayed and I don't know when it's coming out, fuck them. I don't care how good it is. Their book is shit because they can't put it out correctly.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, at least we still have comics coming out on time.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's like, celebrate what you do well. Don't celebrate what you fuck up and pretend like it's good.
Yep.
We do this great web series. You'll see it someday. Oh, it's so good. Fuck that. You know what? Let's focus more on the comics. Like, honestly, even some of the stuff they're doing, which, I mean, this may be some of the stuff you want to bitch about today, too, but, like, the single-issue second print for Quantum and Woody that then they auctioned for charity, like, that's a cool thing to do. Like, I'm sure you can poke holes in it and throw some negativity in there if you want to, but they're giving it's for charity. Like, what is there to bitch about with it? It's for charity. Fuck it. Move on. You know, that's a fun little story. You know, instead of bullshitting me about this web series that you don't have anything concrete to give me, like, that's the kind of stuff I want to hear about that's the lighter fare of stuff, you know, that's not concrete to what I really care about. I don't want to be lied to.
Yep. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because I thought that was interesting. I saw a couple tweets about it, and then they had it on their website, and I saw the eBay auction. So they're Valiant printed one copy of the second printing of Quantum and Woody number one, which it's not even out yet, right? But they printed one copy and they got together with the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, which is an awesome charity. And whatever proceeds get made from that are going to be going to the CBD LDF. And I don't even know where it's at now. I'm not going to check. But when I checked last time, I think it was yesterday maybe, it was at like $500 or $600. So, I mean, yeah, like you could just go and donate it. Like if you have that much money to spare, you can go and just donate it straight up. But something like this is cool. And Valiant has done work with the Legal Defense Fund before. Usually they've done like con exclusives. I think they did one at San Diego and a couple other places. God, what was there? I think there was a Dr. Mirage one. There's been a couple. There's been like three. There was a Harbinger one. But yeah, I like that. I like that. I saw a couple people bitching about it. Like, how dare they only make one copy of the second printing? Well, like, dude, like, are you that serious that you're just buying all the second printings? Like, I guarantee you, you've never bought a second printing in your life.
Yeah, you know, I can understand where completist collectors that want to collect everything might get frustrated by stuff like this, but there's plenty of stuff to get frustrated about if you're like that. The thing is, if you're going to be a completist, try to complete everything, it's not going to be easy because there's always going to be stuff out there that's more difficult to get.
Why complain when it's for charity? Like, if they were making 10 of these sold to the highest bidder just for whatever, like, okay, maybe I could see that.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with you there, but some people are just going to complain because, I don't know, like, I don't get the completist collectors that complain about the difficulty of collecting anything because, you know, it's not like back in the day where they just published the issue and that was it to collect, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're completist in that way and they make an issue hard to get, like, I can understand people a little bit more complaining about something like Legends of the Geomancer that was made a little bit more difficult to get and it was the only way to get it.
Sure.
Even though, like, I can also disagree to an extent with all those complaints. But, you know, complaining about something that's made to be a collectible and, you know, especially something like this that they're doing it for charity, it's, you know, it's a stunt for charity. You know, I mean, they can make anything and sell for charity, but to raise money for charity, it's going to do better if it has some sort of value to it as well.
Well, you know, and the thing with the Geomancer books is you can get all four now for like $20 on eBay. And the fact that they're available to purchase tells me that all those people that were bitching about it in the first place, they didn't even care to get the damn thing, because if they actually wanted it, there wouldn't be any copies on eBay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So.
I don't know.
Yeah,
If you're a collector, you're in that game for a reason. So it's like if you're a pro athlete complaining because the other team's defense is too good, you know? Well, they shouldn't be so good because I want to be this, but like I don't want it to be that difficult to be, you know, a pro athlete. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want to be a running back, but I want people to tackle me. Like just kinda try to tackle me. Don't make it too hard though. I just want to run. You know,
is that like how all the kids get trophies in school for everything now?
I guess sorta. You know,
you were 10th place. Here's a trophy. Everybody gets a trophy. You didn't participate in the spelling bee. Here's a trophy for attending.
I think that so. Like getting off a tangent into that subject, I think that you can look at stuff like that positively or negatively, but the real burden is on the parents, not on the people giving out the trophies. So if you complain because your kids are given a trophy for participating, then teach them what shit means. If you complain because your kid doesn't get a trophy, then you're a parent. Teach your kids. Don't blame a school. Don't blame whoever gives them the trophy. Unless you're giving your kids trophy for every little fucking thing, then like you're the one you can complain about what you do. Like anything that happens outside of what you do with your kids, it's your job to teach them to take those things and to get the most out of it developmentally. Everything else, like I get so tired of that. People complain, like, you know, kids shouldn't get participation trophies. Fuck you, teach your kid. Teach your kid what it means to get a participation trophy. Is that the same as getting first place? No, teach them that and quit fucking complaining. I have a kid with special needs, and I see how the things that every kid gets their turn being the star student or whatever, see how much it means to him.
Yeah.
And you know what? So fuck everybody who wants to complain about any of that shit.
Yeah.
You're being a cunt. That's what you're being.
Oh, my, Paul.
Yeah. You should probably beep that word. That was a little harsh.
No. We're going to leave it. I'll just put an explicit tag on it.
That's what happens when, I don't know. I get so pissed off when people complain about stuff pertaining to kids. Like, be a good parent. teach your kid well.
Yeah.
And don't try to take stuff away from kids because you want to be pissy about stuff.
Yeah. Well, and the difference would be, like, explain to them what it means to get there, right? I think that's the main point you made. Is like, it's fine to get the participation trophy, but explain to them. The participation trophy is not like, you're the best speller or whatever the hell, you know? You have the best math test score.
Yeah, and it's important for kids to know that it's good to try things and to be a part of things. And, you know, that's the biggest problem. People complain about these, you know, trophies like this. The problem is that parents are doing a shitty job of teaching their kids they're not giving the kids the support for just trying and failing at something.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, my wife is an artist, so, and she's a good artist. Of course, she's hard on herself. And when she's trying something new or she's just frustrated with something, like it's not going, like every project she does, there's always a point where she gets frustrated. But like especially when she's trying something new, it's like, it's better to fail and try it because you're only going to be better at it next time than to, like, you can't go into it and expecting to just be perfect at it. Like, failing is a part of progressing, and that's a good thing.
Yep.
It's the same thing with kids. Like, my son does so many different things. He gets interested in so many different things, and I love every little thing that he does. Not because like some shitty little drawing he makes is special and important, but because he's making drawings, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing. Like, you know, you can complain about the structure of society, but the reason there are participation trophies is because too many parents make their kids feel like nothing fucking matters. Mm-hmm. So you know what? It's up to other people to do your job as a parent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, buddy.
But for collectors, you're an adult, so if you want your collection to matter, quit being a bitch about it and just, like, get what you want to get. If it's hard to get, that's your fucking problem, you adult, you.
Start adulting, damn it.
But it's different nowadays because you're not collecting something that's readily available and building a collection in that sense. Like, when people are chasing, like, every variant or something like that. I mean, we both have a friend who would really like to do that, but he's not able to get every variant, but he still gets everything that he can.
Oh, yeah.
And he wants those ones that he can't get. But you know what? He's never an asshole about it.
Nope.
So that's how it should be. I mean, you want something to be special. It takes work, it's hard, and sometimes you can't get it if it's special.
Well, and if it wasn't hard, then it wouldn't be special.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
That's the participation trophy there.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The adult participation trophy is I want what I get to be special and easy. That's you know what? That's what it is there.
Oh, those guys. But anyway, good for Valiant, dude. I like this. I hope they do more of it. And I don't care if it's, you know, printing one copy of a printing or just one copy of a cover or whatever. That's fine. You know, the Legal Defense Fund does a lot of good work, man, because there's some shady people. You know, comic book, here's the thing, Paul. Comic book creators, it's a tough job, man. You know, you got to pay for your own health insurance. If you run into legal troubles with a publisher or whatever else, like, there's nobody to help you. You know, it's just you. So the CBLDF does really good work, and there's no reason to bitch about this. Matter of fact, go support the CBLDF. If you got like $5-10 a month, just throw it at them.
Get it? Like, if you do a Humble Bundle, I don't know now. I haven't bought a Humble Bundle since IGN bought it, but I'm assuming they're basically doing it the same way. But you, like, whatever money you give towards the bundle, like, a percentage goes to the publisher, a percentage goes to Humble, and a percentage goes to the charity. And you can actually choose the percentage. So you can choose to give everything to the charity if you wanted to.
Yep.
They give you that flexibility. So I don't know how it is now, but I know that a lot of the times the comic Humble bundles are supporting the CBLDF.
Yep. That's another good way to do it. Good call, Paul. Good call.
Yeah.
The November numbers came out, and, man, I had to tweet our buddy Dallo because I was way off, Paul. I was way off.
On Ninja K?
On Ninja K. Our buddy Dallo over in the UK, he always tweets at us so we can guess what a particular book is. Usually like the first issue of a book, right? And he asked about Ninja K. He had guessed about 18,000. I don't know if you chimed in. I think he had copied the Collecting Valiant guys. I'm not sure if they chimed in. But I guessed like 16,000. And the reason I guessed that low is because the comic industry is kind of in a sales slump. And you can read more about that if you go check out sales. I'm not going to talk about that. But I was way off, man. Ninja K did 25,500 copies, which is really fucking banging. It might be the best selling book of 2017 for Valiant. I didn't verify that, but I'm pretty sure it is. If not one, maybe number two. So good for Valiant.
And I could be wrong, but they didn't go crazy with the variants with this, did they?
No, they did not.
That's another thing that's kind of nice to see. I mean, you know, I don't really care what they do as far as variants go or whatever. Like, you know, they make their decisions based on running their business. I'm not going to get into that debate anyways. But, when we talk about the large sales numbers for issue number ones, but they go crazy with the variants, like, it makes it hard to kind of really realize how they did. So it's even better to see them get these sales numbers without going crazy. You know, so you compare this, like, Bloodshot Reborn number one that I think did, what did they do, like 40,000?
Yeah, but it had like 31 covers.
Yeah, it had crazy, crazy variants coming out for it. So it's nice to see them do this well without going crazy with the variant covers.
Yep. Yeah, and it gives you a more genuine feel for what the sales were, too. There weren't a bunch of, usually what bumps it up are the retailer exclusives. Cause, you know, a lot of times they have to order like 500 copies or 1,000 copies to get a in-store variant. And there were some of those, but not as many as we've seen in the past. So, good for, Christos Gage and, who else? Oh, Tomas Giorello and everybody else involved.
We've talked about this before, talking about, you know, the first issue Ninja K some, but it's nice to see that, kind of fresh writing blood and Valiant that feels like so much in the vein of what, you know, we want from Valiant, or what we like, you know, what we think Valiant should be.
Yep.
As far as storytelling and all that kind of stuff. So it's nice to see somebody else get involved and like really feel like they are meshing with the greater direction of things.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy with the scheduling right now. You know, like Bloodshot Salvation's awesome. Ninja K is awesome. Exo Manowar has gotten really awesome. The other stuff I could maybe do without, like when they do the, like one shots or whatever, like the Faith Winter Wonderland, that was fine. But, like, I almost feel like unless the book is going to be the best thing ever, or you hope that it will be, then maybe just get rid of that. Like, even if it means going from six books to like four, like I'd be okay with that. Just don't put out the extraneous stuff.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I'm getting tired of when just discussing Valiant with people in general is people, like, now they have so many things to latch on to gripe about. Like, even just this morning in one of our little group conversations there, somebody was griping about Faith in the Future Force again. I mean, they just finished reading it, so that's why it's fresh on their mind. Mm. But it's like, why are you even reading it? You know, like, you know, gotta read everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just, like, Valiant puts out so many things that just feel so throwaway lately, and I think we're getting more things that don't feel throwaway, but I don't know, like, you know,
well,
I get tired of the one shots where it's not like you get a one shot, you want it to like knock your socks off, and they've done that in the past,
exactly.
Where they've had zero issues or one shots or whatever, they just really knock your socks off. But when you get a one shot that's just like, why the fuck did I buy that, then it's kind of, it gives ammo to the people that want to find stuff to gripe about.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, if you remember, Paul, like 2 years ago, everyone was complaining when we had 8 books. Well, why doesn't the Valiant do 12 books? And now I'm kind of the opposite, dude. Like, I would much rather them do like 3 or 4. Just superb, like, on the money every time books. And if that means getting rid of the one-shots, get rid of them. You know, use the one-shots to introduce things. Like, when War Mother came out, that one-shot was freaking awesome. The miniseries is good, but I don't think it hit in the same spot as the one shot.
Yeah, we talked about that last week or the week before too.
Yeah, yeah.
Punk Mambo is another one where the one shot like really got people excited.
Yeah.
So I mean, it make a one shot hit like that, not, you know, I don't know, like a lot of these, it's like, oh, well, we're just telling this fun story. Like, a lot of the one shots have just been disappointing.
Yep. So let's talk about Shadow Man. Because last week, I said that M. Night Shyamalan was going to be writing it, and of course...
And you were correct!
And of course I was correct.
He just changed his name to Andy Diggle.
That's right, he changed his name. So Andy Diggle is going to be doing the Shadow Man. By the way, if anyone thought I was serious, shame on you. Andy Diggle is going to be writing the Shadow Man series. He comes from, he's a UK writer. He started out in 2000 AD, which is funny because I just watched a documentary, which Paul, you should watch. It is really, really good. Get it from your library. It's called Future Shock, The Story of 2000 AD. And Nick and I talked about it last episode of the Nerdy Legion podcast, shameless plug. And it's awesome because it really showed like how all these UK writers, when they came to the US, just changed the industry so much and really gave us a lot of the stories that are seminal, I think, over the past like 30 years, 40 years.
I don't know. I'll be the judge of this. Give me an example of a seminal story by a UK writer.
Well, I mean, that's how Alan Moore came in.
Neil
Gaiman.
Terrible, terrible, terrible. Give me a good example.
Grant Morrison.
And I was just going through some books that I'm sending to a friend, and one of the books is like a trade of like the beginning of Swamp Thing, basically. Mm. Len Wein and Brody Wrightson.
Yeah.
If I remember from what I've read correctly, Swamp Thing wasn't doing great, and then Alan Moore came in and started writing it. And I've read some of his Swamp Thing, and I think it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. So I was just thinking about that, Alan Moore, and like what he did with Swamp Thing, and some of the other things that he's done.
Yeah, go get that documentary from the library. I'm sure you can pick it up pretty easily. But anyways, so he was an editor for 2000 AD. He's done stuff for like Batman. He did Green Arrow Year One, a bunch of other stuff. And now he's going to be doing this new Shadowman series with Steven Segovia, coming fresh off of War Mother, to do the art. And I got to say, Paul, we were way off on the creative teams. There were people that I was hoping for. None of those people materialized. But I'm pretty happy with the creative team. I know you were joking a little bit about who the hell's Andy Diggle. And I don't think he's as big a name. But like if you've been like a Marvel fan or a DC fan, you know who Andy Diggle is, kind of.
I wasn't actually joking about who was Andy Diggle. I was asking people to answer me because of course I went and Googled him and saw what he does. That gives you no sense of anything unless you know what they've done,
right?
So I looked at it. I was like, well, there's all this random stuff. So I want somebody to tell me who Andy Diggle is because they'll tell me, oh, he did this and this and this was good,
right?
And of course, most people were just assholes and were useless. Thank you guys. yeah, so I mean, it's like basically I have no real sense of Andy Diggle right now. I'm looking forward to it coming out and reading it. I mean, just kind of like with Christos Gage, who's, I knew his name at least, you know, to an extent.
Sure.
Ninja K, we'll see what it is, and I have high hopes for it. And, you know, I'm looking forward to it being good. I'm not going to do like some people and sit here and be like, it's not going to be good. And then, like, it's going to have to be, like, the best thing ever created to impress you. Nah, I like to enjoy things. I'm going to go into expecting to enjoy it.
I like that, Paul. That's a good sentiment. So the book's going to be coming out. That's the creative team. I'm looking forward to it. I saw some people a little upset. I can kind of see why. I think the way that the solicit is phrased, it almost seems like they're throwing out a lot of Shadowman stuff that Matt Kinn has done. I've seen some people be contrary to that as well. So I don't know. Maybe I'll go back and reread Kinn stuff and reread Rapture and see if it makes sense to me again. But I'm coming in it with fresh eyes, and I hope for the best because we've talked a plenty about previous Shadowman books, and I think the general sentiment has been that it could have been better. Even though I think you and I both enjoyed most of that run, so.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff to enjoy, even if there were some things to complain about.
Sure.
But yeah, it's like I'm going to go into this expecting to enjoy it greatly, and it'll have to be bad for me not to enjoy it, basically. So I don't get everybody already. Like, they've been dying for Shadow Man, and they finally get it, and it's now so many people are complaining about it, and it's not out for months. Seriously, folks.
Yeah, seriously. Like, literally months. There's going to be a free Comic Book Day Shadow Man special also on May 5th. Same creative team, so that'll be exciting. And there'll be a second Valiant. Well, is there a second? It might be the same book. They're going to have stories with X-Men Manowar, Bloodshot Salvation, Quantum and Woody, Secret Weapons. Because all that leads up to Harbinger Wars 2, which is kind of right around the corner too, Paul. Right after Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. We'll see how this new Shadow Man series goes. But I will be picking it up. I wonder if they haven't announced a pre-order bundle, have they?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so. I wish they'd do that again. That seems to be doing okay. When I was looking at the sales numbers, EXO's still hanging out at like 10,000 copies a month. And I'm sure a lot of that is because of the pre-order bundles.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if we hear news about a pre-order bundle pretty soon. It kind of seems like the cadence of things. You get the announcement of the series, then you get some random news about the series, and then it gets a little closer and they announce the pre-order bundle. I think if they announce it too early, people just forget how to do it because people already seem to have enough of a hard time figuring out how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That includes shop owners from a lot of what we've heard.
Yep.
Figure out how to order something for their customers.
Yep.
Also, Future Shock, the story of 2000 AD, is on Amazon Prime.
It is. That's where I watched it.
Yep, that's where I'll be watching it.
Oh, you have Prime?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Prime is all I have.
Prime is the best. I ordered all my Christmas presents. I ordered all my Christmas presents Sunday night, and they all showed up this morning.
Yep. That's pretty
very convenient. This podcast not sponsored by Amazon. Shame on you. This podcast is sponsored by our Patreons at patreon.com/Valiant Century Podcast. And I know we didn't do this last week because there were some issues, and I'll just briefly discuss them. Everybody was so upset about the Patreon changes that Patreon decided to change their stuff back. So we're going to thank Tim, Justin, Jay, Mike, Travis, Mike, the other Mike, Julian, and thank you for your support. We are still going to be getting rid of our Patreon because unlike other people, you know how they say, what's that saying, Paul? Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on you.
Other way around.
Whatever. I'm only going to get fooled in one time. So we're still going to be moving forward with our own Patreon replacement. I'll announce that the next episode, which is not going to be until 2018. So this is the last episode of 2017. There will be an episode next week, but it's not going to be Paul and I. Nick from Nerd Legion podcast and I recorded or are finishing recording an episode for all of our podcasts on the network. And so while most podcasts decide to take the week off for Christmas week and they do boring recap episodes that nobody cares about, we're going to do fresh content for all the podcasts. So Paul won't be here next episode, but I will be. And I'm not telling you the topic. It's a secret. But we'll be back with fresh episodes, Paul and I together, in 2018. And we're going to be doing some changes to the podcast as well with the new year. So instead of weekly, Paul and I have decided we're going to go to every other week. Just makes it easier for us in terms of scheduling. We'll probably be bringing in a third person to co-host with us. That way we have a little more freedom in terms of the recording schedule. And we have also decided we're going to start, instead of, usually we come in here and we fly by the seat of our pants. But starting with the first episode of 2018, we're going to start doing some new things. So we'll bring in some segments and things like that as well. Anything that I missed, Paul?
The finals of the Valiant Central Fantasy Football League start this week. I'm going up against Adam from that other Valiant podcast, the Talking Valiant podcast.
God, I'm so surprised, dude. Wasn't he like last place last year?
He's been pretty bad the whole time we've been doing the league, but he's been in there since the beginning.
Yeah.
But it just goes to show that, especially now that we're doing a dynasty league, if you keep on working on like getting good pieces on your team, then your team just keeps on improving. So he's done good. He went 9-2 this year. I went 10-1. I lost to Aaron Bell by, I think it was one freaking point.
Mm.
It was something really narrow like that. It was one of those weeks where like I didn't score as much as I should have, and he scored more than he should have and squeaked it out on me. But yeah, so both years I've had one loss to a team that shouldn't have beat me and then gone on to win the finals. But I got to say, Adam's team, it definitely scares me a little bit because he's got some of those guys that can kill you. Like Todd Gurley last week put up like 50 points on his own.
Dang.
Adam has Todd Gurley. That DeJuan was going into last week leading on Adam by like 30 points. He had a good lead, and he couldn't do it. Todd Gurley went crazy. Mark Ingram went crazy as well. He has Mark Ingram. So his running backs make me nervous. Aside from that, like, he has Gronkowski at tight end who, I mean, Gronkowski can go crazy too.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of them doesn't really worry me too much. I've had the unfortunate luck of losing Antonio Brown to injury, of course, going into the finals. But I have quite a few players who can kill you as well. So it could go either way. If either of our team has those players that just go nuts, I'm projected to beat them by 15 points the first week, but it's a 2 week final.
Mm-hmm.
But it could go either way. Last year I went up against Andy in the finals and he put up a big lead on me week one because his team went nuts and my team underperformed. And I just came back the second week and rolled him so bad that it wasn't even close, even though he had a huge lead going into the second week on me. So hopefully I keep the trophy at home where it belongs. Otherwise, it's going to be going overseas.
Mm, that'll be exciting for you.
I already told him he'll give me a stateside shipping address.
Yeah, I think his parents are in Atlanta, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and then when he comes to visit, he'll pick it up to tote it around for a year before yep. figuring out how to ship it back to me to give it to the next person.
Yep. Yeah, shout out to Adam and Brett at the Talking Valiant podcast. I think both you and I, that was the first podcast we did before we started this podcast.
The first podcast I did with JK's Happy Hour.
Listen, I'm talking about Valiant podcasts.
The first Valiant podcast I did was our podcast.
Really? Okay, so we were on there pretty soon after.
Yeah, you might have been on there before we started, like right around when we were starting. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I know that I was on there once a little after we started.
Yep. But see, the difference is we're prolific, Paul, because even though they started before us, they're still only at like episode 50-something. We're on episode like 3 million right now.
We are.
We are.
We do 17 episodes a day now.
Yes, it's true. We divide them in 30-second segments. All right, that's going to be it for us this week. Paul is at Who's Paul on Twitter. I'm at Geekvine. The show is at Valiant_Central. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in 2018.
See you next year, Martin.
You're so funny.